All right, folks, it's time for a fish report. Leif Seaberg from MedOff Fishing Adventures is here. How you doing, Leif?
Good. How you doing, Depp?
I'm doing pretty good. I got to tell you, I'm sort of glad I don't share your serious addiction to going out there and fishing in the snow.
Oh, man. I found, you know, it helps you get over a cold to get out there.
Over a cold.
And just deal with it. Just blow your nose and in your coat sleeve in the water or whatever, and just catch the fish anyway. And it worked, you know, it worked fine for me this time.
There is something to be said for forging ahead.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's been a pleasure to have this river open all winter this year. I'd like to say that I've done some other stuff, but I really haven't been able to get off the river. I have gotten to some different rivers, haven't been on the ice or anything, and I haven't been over to Omak Lake, though, and we should talk about those things as well.
Well, yes. I'll tell you one thing I want to talk to you about first is you and I were talking the other day on the phone, and you had been traveling a little bit. You've been down to Wenatchee. I'm curious about that. That's a whole lot bigger river.
Oh, man. You know, my dad lives down there, and it's always nice to get the kids down there in the middle of the winter time so they don't just eat my wife and I alive. And so we took them down there, and she and I had the old dinner and a movie date there for Valentine's. And I figured, you know, she was happy, and I would give myself a Valentine's present. And I went fishing on the Wenatchee there. My friend Brad with Bobber Down, I always talk about, he showed me some great holes there, and so is my dad. And so, you know, I went to one of the first ones that Brad had showed me, and it's become my new favorite there on the Wenatchee, man. I just, I love the hole. It's right below my dad's house there on Sunnyside, just downstream of Monitor. And, man, before you know it, I had three fish to hand there at the one hole the first morning there. And
really?
And got out another time the next morning. And only got one fish, but hey, you know, anything is awesome. And that was upstream at another place that my dad had showed me. So starting to feel like I know that river a little bit better. But yeah, it's definitely a very large river. I mean, forget about trying to cast across that.
Yeah, there's no way. You ever start wishing you had a boat to get to another place that you want to be?
Absolutely, or really just the time. I mean, my buddy Brad's always trying to talk me into the boat down there. But, you know, it's just always tough when you got the little guys there. I'd like to take my boys with me every time, and I just don't always have the time to for a long float. But I'm definitely enjoying the idea of getting to know that river more. And yes, a boat is very key, but it is also not as impossible as I thought to fish from the bank. You just kind of pick your lines, pick your pockets, look for the, like they say, I hate the cliches, but the river within a river. You know, try to detect the seams, the calmer water, where you know the fish are going to be, and you'd be surprised. You're usually not wrong. They're there.
Okay. Well, one thing we should mention is the season is different in different places. Mm-hmm. So it's different down there on the Wenatchee.
Yeah, well, you know, they actually had a split season this year, so they had to, you know, hold off. I know that's part of the reason Brad was up here fishing is they couldn't fish for a few months down there. I can't remember exactly when it closed, but luckily, it coincided with the opening time with me going down there for the weekend. So I was pretty happy.
Yeah. Well, that's that is something to always stay aware of, though. We talk about and we believe there's fishing somewhere.
Oh, yeah. There's always fishing somewhere.
Yeah. But sometimes it might be closed. So stay aware of that. Okay. So we covered the big Wenatchee River. How about the Methow? That's your home base. That's where you've been at a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to love the Methow. For the most part, you can cast across it, wade across it. It's a lot more stable in its flows. You know, I was going to mention about the Wenatchee. When it's open, it usually fishes good, but it is very apt to blowing out. It will rise in its CFS right away, and it'll become unfishable with just a large rainstorm. So, you know, the Methow, it's always great. It's beautiful. There's a lot less folks up here most of the time, and it's been fishing great all year. You know, those times where it cooled down, it got a little tougher, but I'd say what I was catching fish down to is as cold as 26 degrees. And, you know, anything lower than that, I've kind of started to just hang out at the fly tying bench for the day there. Yeah. But, you know, 26 degrees and above with that water temperature, hopefully be in between, you know, a 39, a 45 degrees, and man, if it's getting up towards 50, it's really time to go fishing. And I know that sounds cold, but to the steelhead, it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, they're cold-blooded creatures.
Yes, they are.
So last week, we kind of intimated that there's some good fishing at Omak Lake, and I know you've got buddies that fish that, so what's going on in Omak?
You know, usually I wouldn't think of it if it was a split season breaking away from the Mad How, but I'm almost getting to where I can think about doing something else. And so I've been to the point where I'm getting ready to head over there. You know, I mean, if you're really enjoying steelheading, you can wait for another couple weeks for the Omak, I call it Lahontan Roundup. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it'll be prime in that first week of April. But right now is when it's starting to really, you know, get pretty good. You can expect to catch three or four of them in a day and maybe even do better on any given day. And, you know, it's just, it's not quite as cold. You might not be suffering quite as bad as you would be in a day of steelheading. Of course, though, it is windy there sometimes. So, you know, fish that first end. If the wind's not blowing your way, if it's blowing into your face, try the other end, and it should be blowing to your back. You know, you've got those two opposite ends of each other. So if the wind's not working to your advantage, just go to the other end of the lake, either Cowpie or Beer Can Beach. Get your reservation license at Chevron or at Walmart, preferably Chevron. And, yeah, it's a great time. Like I say, it'll be peaking in the beginning of April.
Are we talking about the Lahontans peaking? Is that what you're talking about?
Or? It's just, you know, you're kind of balancing when you've got a lot of fish coming up out of the super deeps there. I mean, it's hundreds of feet deep up into the shallows with when they're getting close to spawn, you know. I mean, you're going to have a bunch when it's close to spawn time, but they're going to be kind of dark and kind of slow. So you really want to get that sweet medium spot right there between a lot of fish up and starting to slow down and get ready to spawn. And so that's going to be within this next month now.
Okay. Now, last year we were talking about the Lahontans. Just give us a little preview. I know it's a little bit early and we'll be talking more about it, but tell us a little bit about what it is, what they are.
You know, it's a really fun experience. Some people will say they're, you know, they get a bad rap because they won't jump quite as much as some other fish. But, you know, they are a remarkable fish. They have been adapted to living in some extreme environments. I mean, water temperatures up into the mid-80s in the midday and down into the 40s at night. I mean, it's a desert fish that has managed to thrive inland in the desert for tens of thousands of years, and it's for the most part because they were stuck inland with chub or, you know, other little fish that they could eat. So as they evolved in these ever-shrinking first massive lakes that covered states, and then down into desiccating lakes where the water got lower and lower quality, and they adapted to living and thriving in those environments and eating those little forage fry. And so you've still got these big fish that'll tolerate just some extreme environments. And Omak Lake, I really think in this state, it's got the state record, but it's also just one of the most beautiful places to fish in general. Uh-huh. And for this fish, it's a great time. You'll see packs of them roaming the shallows and you can cast on them.
Yeah, and this is really an ancient fish we're talking about here.
Yeah, you know, as the cutthroat came up into the Columbia, they made their way over the Continental Divide. I think, you know, some are, it's like American Creek. I forget all the names, but there's some of those creeks that actually bridge the divide and spill down either side. And so they managed to get up and over. And then the cutthroat.
That's amazing.
I know.
It's amazing.
As a race of fish, you know, they managed to travel over the divide and then down south into Arizona, New Mexico, and into the lakes there that were the original Great Lakes. And they made their way up some of the major rivers at the time called the Yukons. There were two or three of them, and they were all called the Yukons. They're massive rivers that would have covered states as they were draining off of the continent.
When we talk about ancient, we're talking about a whole different landmass going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, they made their way in there, and basically they evolved their way back up to the north and out the Columbia with the West Slope cutthroat, our cutthroat, being the newest of those subgroups of cutthroat, besides the coastal cutthroat, which is on the very outside.
Okay, so tell people how big that record Lahontan is.
Oh, man. 18 and a half at Omak Lake, but, you know, before they dammed the Truckee's source of water down there, or, I mean, the Truckee, I guess, went into the Pyramid Lake there, and before they dammed it, those fish were getting to, 60 and 70 pounds, almost 6 feet long. And now, you know, they're kind of a remnant. In that Pyramid Lake, they'll get up to 20 and 30 pounds still. And in our Omak Lake there, the state record, like I say, is 18 and a half. But some people say they've, you know, taken pictures of, measured, and confirmed a release of 20 to 22 pounders.
Okay, so they're big boys. We'll talk more about those as they start showing up. Before we leave, though, talk about some other fish in our lakes, some of our smaller lakes right around here. I'm guessing that the ice is still dependable enough?
Oh, yeah. You can still get the kiddos out there, have a good time, go ice fishing for some big rainbows at Davis, or go early in the morning, early in the morning, or right before dark to Patterson to get some of those fickle little spiny rays. And up to Leader Lake for that grab bag, you never know what. And, you know, just... it's going to be a little soggy on top. Take those knee boots, take your sled, take something to sit on. But it should be great, and that's a really fun time out there with kids. And it should still be safe ice for at least the next 2 to 3 weeks. I'll definitely let you know well in advance before I'm getting a little freaked out about that ice.
Yeah, we don't want to be sending anybody out there to get too wet. All right. Hey, thanks, Leif.
You betcha. Hey, everybody, check us out online, flyfishersproshop.com. Or give me a call at Met How Fishing Adventures, 996-2832, and we'll get you out on the water there and having fun. I want to thank Jerome there at Riverside Printing for my new business cards. Hey, man, great job. Anybody needs to get something done, go see Jerome. And until then, hey, fish on, everybody.